Praise the name of the Lord. Stand together with me tonight. Isn't he an awesome God? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Amen. We're privileged tonight to have Brother and Sister Kupstad with us. They drove into town yesterday, I believe, and I know the Andersons and Lytles are thrilled to have them visiting and getting to spend some time with them. And we've asked Brother Kupstad to speak to our hearts tonight. We want him to come open his heart and the word of the Lord to us. Let's receive him tonight with a great big Frankfort, Indiana welcome. We love and appreciate you. Many of them already said to you, welcome home to Indiana.
Praise the Lord, everybody. You should have left a few moments ago when you were dismissed. Now you got to endure it. Brother Nick Mahaney, you'll enjoy his ministry. His little boy come home from school one day with a black eye. And they asked the question, said, what in the world happened? Did you get in a fight in school? No, I didn't get in a fight in school. The little boy hit you? No, did you hit the desk? How'd you get that black eye? God did it. He looked at him and said, I don't believe God would give you a black eye. He said, God can do anything. He had that much of his grandpa in him. Amen. But until he gets here, you got to endure me. Praise the Lord. It is an honor to be here tonight, and we thank you for opening your door for us. We're in St. Louis for the month of October. We start a revival there Sunday night. We had tonight scheduled and had a cancellation, and so your pastor opened the door for us to be here, and I'm grateful for that. And I want to do what the Lord has called us to do. I love you people. Thank you for making us feel like at home. I am at home. Wherever my wife is, I'm at home. I don't have my home here. It's in St. Louis, but I got a good bedroom. I found a Shunem woman that built an extra room, and it's good to be here with Brother and Sister Lytle, and blessed to be a part of this great family. I'd like to turn your attention to the Word of the Lord, because I know tonight's a lot going on, and sounds like you're building a church. I'm excited for you folks. I've been following the church Facebook page and seeing the work there, my heart has been like, wow, I wished I had some time off where I could get a part of that. And God is doing great things, and you folks are truly blessed with great leadership, with a vision to propel you into a new dimension. While other churches are dying off and other churches are folding up and boarding their doors up, you're building a church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ought to give yourself a hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. In the word of the Lord, 1 Kings chapter 18, begin verse 25. And I have a few verses to read. I don't normally have a lengthy reading, but tonight, if you'll permit me to do so, because it's going to kind of set the stage and lay the foundation for what I'm fixing to talk to us about. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 25, beginning. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many. Call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning and evening until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. Please don't cut me off. I know you've heard this preached from many, many times, but let us do it for the sake of the reading of the word of the Lord. But there was no voice. Everybody say, there was no voice. Nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altars which was made. And it came to pass that at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he's either pursuing, or either He's in a journey, pre-adventure. Perhaps maybe he's slumbering, he's sleeping, and he might need to be awakened. And they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in the order, cut the bullock in pieces. He laid him on the wood, said, fill 4 barrels with water, pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. He said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. A little repetitious here, but nonetheless, foundational is important. Brother was telling me, Brother Jordan was telling me about your foundation. He says, what have we done? We've just dug a hole and poured money in it and covered it up. But your message or anything is none greater than the foundation of what you lay. So don't be too hyper about spending money on foundation. You got to build something. You got to get it right. He repaired the altars. He poured the water around about it. And he said, and it came to pass that the time of the evening, of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood, the stones, the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, you better get thee up, eat and drink, do whatever you're going to do, have your party, do whatever it is, because there's a sound of abundance of rain. I want to preach tonight for just a little while, and I promise you I will do my best to be very time conscious, simply on the subject about the God that answers prayer. I know one thing, sometimes we get weary in our praying because we failed to see results of the prayer that we prayed. But don't ever let the devil deceive you. God still answers prayer. The God that answers prayer. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. Thank you for this opportunity that you have bestowed upon us. God, we are humbled by it, and I pray that you would allow the anointing to rest upon us. Let it flow through us. Let our mouth become the mouthpiece of God. Let every heart, God, be very receptive to the preaching of the word. Let us leave here a better person than whence we have come. Let our faith be enriched. Let our spirits be uplifted. Let our eyes be open to what you want us to see, our ears to hear. Bless the people of God. Immensely bless them, I pray, in the wonderful saving name of Jesus. And everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. I am here to tell somebody tonight that I serve a God that answers prayer. It is very important that you know your God. It's very important that you know who is your God. There's a lot of gods in the world. There's a lot of people serving multiple different gods. It must be their God because it's seemingly whom they dedicate most of their time to. It must be because it's more giving to that than it is to, quote, the God, singular. So it's very important that you know who you're serving. I'm glad tonight to know I know who I'm serving. I serve the one true living God. I'm glad tonight that I'm not having to worry about praying to a God that is made up of wood, made up of stone, made up of some graven image that doeth not hear, that cannot see, that cannot attain the things that are going on in my life, that is not aware of anything. But I'm glad I know who I serve, and I serve a God that still answers prayer. My God is not a mamby-pamby God. He's not some God that is perhaps maybe off somewhere asleep. He's not a God that is on a journey when I go to pray. He is not a God that is too busy to hear me when I pray. But my God sits on the throne of heaven tonight. He rules the heavens and the earth. He is the spirit realm, my friend, is subject to my God. He is in control of the winds and the rain. They have to obey my God. Storm clouds have to roll back at his very command. I'm talking about my God. Sickness has to flee at the mention of the name of my God. Demonic powers have to tremble at the very presence of the name of my God. The God that I serve don't even have to show up. I can just speak the name of Jesus, and the devils are subject to that name. Hell is out of business when I call on the name of my God. I'm telling you tonight, I serve a God that answers prayer. He walks on the raging storms of life. He reigns in troubled waters, the high and low day. He sets in the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is everything in between. He is the living Word incarnate. He is the helpless sinner's friend. He is the sweet rose of Sharon. He is the bright and morning star. He is the lily of the valley. I'm telling you, that's who he is. He answers prayer, whether you believe that or not. My God answers prayer. You got to understand, I'm talking about my God. You got to decide who is your God tonight. You're the only one that can settle the God issue in your life. I'm just going to sell out to my God because he has rode himself to be faithful to me. He's always been there when I needed him at the most. And when I didn't need him, he was always kindly present. I'm talking about my God. Undoubtedly, there are other gods. I don't mean to offend anybody tonight. I'm here to help somebody and not hurt somebody, but I want you to get your God right. In picking your God, you better pick somebody that what you serve can sometimes in return serve you. It was their god, the god of Baal, that they had served. And these gods were supposedly known gods. These were notable gods. There are gods all over the world. There are things that which can demand our attention, that can stand up in our life and be very erected in our life, and it can be very prominent in our life. But it doesn't mean that that god is going to help you when you need help. You better pick your god wisely. I'm telling you, that's the reason why the writer of the Old Testament just really hammered it into the minds of even to the children on up. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, the true and living God, that you shall not have no other gods before you. Friend, I want you to know my God is a one and only God. It is by himself, and there is none that stands by him. There is none that is before him. There is not any in behind waiting to follow in pursuit when he dies. He is a never failing God. He's God all wrapped up by himself. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. I'm telling you, my God answers prayer. I don't know if you serve a God that answers your prayer or not, but I will tell you that if you are serving my God, and the devil has caused you to lack in faith, to believe that God cannot answer prayer, I'm telling you, friend, all you got to do is keep on praying, keep on believing, keep on standing strong in your faith, because God answers prayer. He answers healings by faith. You can get healings, you can get deliverances. He answers by deliverance. He answers by setting the oppressed free. He answers by forgiving sin and giving life everlasting. Isaiah the prophet said his name would be called Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, for henceforth even forevermore. I'm telling you tonight, my God's kingdom is forever. It's not here for 4 years and got to elect another one. My God is a faithful God. He is an eternal God. His kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. I'm telling you, my friend, we serve a prayer answering God. This church serves the prayer answering God. It is a God that is concerned about the welfare of his people, and he governs in the affairs of his people. Hallelujah. God still blesses his church. He still answers prayer. Just preached in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and a fairly large church, and I'm thankful that the Lord gave us the opportunity to preach there, but the pastor pastors two churches. I don't know how he does it. On Sunday that we were there in revival that week, that Sunday we preached Sunday morning at the Tulsa Church, Metro Church. Sunday after church, we bolted out of the door, run down 30 miles down the road to another town, to a church he pastors, and got there. They ran about 150. Church was packed out. At 2 o'clock, we had 2 o'clock service. We preached, had a Holy Ghost move. Closed that service, turned around, ran back to Tulsa, and then preached the third service, had a great move of God. Guess what? Someone gave the pastor $160,000 to pay off the second church. Oh, I was just wondering how y'all was going to respond to that. My God don't do that. I'm not saying that happened before, so therefore I don't believe it. If y'all really serve the God that I'm serving, I'm going to tell you something. When I just said that God gave that church, a man gave him $160,000. I kind of know of a church called Christian Life Church kind of needs about 160 plus more. How about us just name it $560,000? Y'all think I'm crazy? I'm serving a God that is able, that answers prayer. Why undershoot? Why underestimate the power and the authenticity of God? God can do anything but fail. I'm telling you, the same kind of God that set that man up to write them a check, and believe you me, it didn't bounce. It was good. I'm telling you, the same God that set that up can set it up for this church in Frankfort, Indiana. I'm here to tell you that you need to restore your faith in God and to know that God still answers prayer. Pastor Jordan, don't be weary in doing your well. Be strong. Be fervent in your faith, because God is still in control in the finances of the church. And I'm telling you, money can go through your fingers like water. It can go fast. And it's not all about money. But if it's a part of money to build a church, I say, God, answer the prayer. I'm believing that somebody needs to start praying. God, we need $560,000. I'm getting some like, wow, why are you going to blow my mind? You think we need to ask God? I believe that you can ask my God for anything. You say, how can God do that? If God can take absolutely nothing in the beginning when there was nothing, and with his voice he spoke, and where there was nothing, there came something. God's voice is still audible. God's voice is still powerful. God's voice is still authentic. I'm telling you, friend, that voice still speaks today. God, all he's got to do is for somebody to pray a prayer of faith and say, God, you know where it's at. You know how it can come. So move upon the behalf wherever it needs to be. I will not be surprised that if you will pray it in faith to hear the answer, that someone did it. Yeah, Farmers Bank or whatever the bank, yeah, they did it. They wrote a check with about how much interest, and you got to pay it back. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a God that will answer your prayer. We don't see it because we don't pray it. We don't pray it because we don't believe in the God that we're praying to. I believe that this church is not just a church. It's the house of God. And the house of God, the Bible said, is none other than the gate of heaven that Jacob saw. It is not a VFW. It is not some country club for Christians. It's not only a good place to spend Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights, but it's the gate of heaven. I'm telling you, friend, anything can happen at the gate of heaven. You see, if we hang around here long enough, you're going to see some miracles and signs and wonders. You'll see cancers healed. You will see blind eyes opened. You will see the withered strengthened and the hands recovered. You'll see couples on their way to the divorce court to come around and make a marriage out of it. Glory to God. Can really God do that? It all depends upon who's your God. I chose mine wisely. Hallelujah. And I serve him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to tell you something. When you serve God, God that I serve will heal, deliver, set free. The demoniacs are healed. You'll see drug addictions broke free. You will see the alcoholics delivered from the power and influence of alcohol. How sad. People are serving their God. Yesterday morning in St. Louis, before we left on our way here, I stopped at a convenience store to get me a soft drink. It was at 9 o'clock or so in the morning, and I walked up, and as I drove up, and as I was driving up, And my wife and I was, there was a couple that was on bicycles. He was on one bicycle and she was on one bicycle. I could tell that they were lost souls, and I could tell that they really didn't have much. And that was probably the reason why they were on bicycles. I'm not saying that if you choose to ride a bicycle that you don't have nothing. So don't get mad at me if I say that. But they undoubtedly, you could tell the way they were. They was very unkempt people, and they smelt and a lot of other things. And the way I walked in, and you know what? They didn't have a car to drive. They didn't have clean clothes. But yet they would spend their last penny on whiskey on the shelf. And the wife said, I guess it was the wife or the woman said to the man, she said, do you think that's going to be big enough? She said, because you know we're going to want some more. And I stood back behind them, and I was just shaking my head. And the man behind the counter was serving them, looked up at me, and I was shaking my head. And he just started shaking his head. I was just buffaloed by what I was seeing. And the Lord began to speak to my heart. And he says, this is their God. This is what they're hoping to find answers with. The reason why at 9 o'clock in the morning that they're coming to start their day off, they're dedicating themselves to the bottle. They're hoping to drain something, to end something, to wash away something. And they will not find it in this. He said, you ought to be thankful that you serve a prayer-answering God, a God that knows what's going on, a God that can satisfy. And so with that, God began to message on this message tonight. He began speaking to my heart, and I said, God, I'm so thankful that I chose you as my God. I don't have to go to a store and hope to find hope in a bottle, and sure enough, it's not going to be big enough, because it's not going to be sufficient enough. Anything else beside the living true God will not be a prayer answering God. The world of this God of this world will not answer your prayers. The world of worldliness will not answer your prayers. You can dig yourself in and go yourself the furthest you want to go. You can have all you want to have in this life, but if it's not a true living God that you're serving, he's not going to answer your prayer. He will not heal your sickness. He will not make a way where there is no way. But I'm telling you, the God that I serve answers prayer. You will find, my friend, that he will bring deliverance when nothing else will. Sickness can be healed by the blood that was shed in his body. Sin sick souls can find deliverance and healing and forgiveness. I'm telling you about a God that still answers prayer. Let me tell you, my friend, he is a God of authority. He is a God who answers by fire. Have you heard about him, the one that caused the water to flow from the rocks? That's my God. My God can bring water out of a rock. Have you heard about the one that can split the Red Sea? I'm telling you, if you could only get the dynamics of that miracle, it wasn't just a little 5-foot path. You got to understand there were over 1 million people, and that's not counting the horses and all of their baggage and luggage and everything that they come out of Egypt with. You got to understand the massness of the crowd. It had to be a wide separation. This is not just saying, and it happened. It took a God of great, great God to do something like that. That's my God. Have you heard about the one that destroys giants with a little boy and a slingshot? That seems to be virtually impossible. But my God always surprises me. My God always amazes me. I am never to the point to where God doesn't amaze me. Hallelujah. He's a God that delivers. He's a God that sets free. This world is full of the kind of bondage that Jesus can break. It's full of the kind of sickness that he knows how to heal. It's full of the type of sin that he has already shed his blood for. This world offers only a reprieve in the bottle. It offers only a glimpse of victory. There are people probably tonight at AA meetings, sitting on pews, seats, whatever. I am an alcoholic. I will always be an alcoholic, but I will be a recovering alcoholic. Not with my God. My God will not just let you be a recovering alcoholic, but he will let you be free from alcohol. In this house tonight, there are people that could be bound by alcohol, could be bound by drugs. It doesn't matter who you are. Just only a few moments in repenting before God, you can find deliverance. That's my kind of God. That's my kind of God. My God is a God that answers prayer. I will tell you that it doesn't sometimes seem to be practical for some things to happen. $560,000, that's an awful lot of money, but not with God. Brother Lee Stone King made the statement, and I quote him, that every miracle begins with an impossibility. Have you ever really looked at the word impossible? Yeah, it looks bad. It's a bad situation. No. Have you looked at the word impossible? Sometimes you ought to write that word impossible, and you need to dissect it and draw a line, and it will say, I'm possible. And that's exactly when you got God on your side, he can turn the impossible to I'm possible. What seems to be the very unattainable, God's the best at it. My daughter has been plagued with, and I say this because, and do reverence, and I'm fixing to close, that there, I've never seen the lack of so many people with cancer, young people afflicted with cancer, dying with cancer. My daughter's 26 years old. I'll just tell you this. God gave us one child, and it was a girl. And she's daddy's heart. Is she perfect? Probably not. Did I do the best I could? I hope so. But God always has a reason for every setting in your life. And just a few months ago, my daughter felt a lump. And I know what I have known, that when you feel a lump, not a good sign. To say the least, this dad was worried, concerned. She was sweating it. All of us was. I told her, I says, regardless of the outcome, God is still faithful. And I said, sometimes God gives us an alarm clock that just goes off spiritually to give us an awakening, to remind us to be careful who we choose to be God. Because there's going to come times in your life that you're going to need some help from your God. If you have it, hold on. It's coming. You're going to need an answer to some prayer. You're going to need some miracle in your life. And you better hope you chose the right God. I'll be honest with you. I was born raised in this thing, and I won't lose my point where I'm at with my daughter. I was raised in this thing for years. I just knew that there was a God because I heard my dad preach about it. I just accepted it because he said it. He said, live it. I lived it. But I began to grow old enough to where I began to understand, you know what? This is not working for me. Y'all are really quiet. I hope and pray that you're just listening. This is not working for me. What is the problem? It was my dad's God. And that's the reason why it wasn't personal to me. I was wondering when I would see them in service and I would see them overwhelmed, and I'm standing back and I'm wondering, what is it that is really making them feel that way? I believe what they're saying, and I believe in God, but I did not choose him as my God. I just accepted the fact that it was God. And for us, if we're not careful, we can set around the movement of God and we can pretend that we accept him as our God and miss out on the feeling of God. Until one Sunday night, I said, you know what? I've had enough of this. I am empty to the core. On the inside of me, I am coattailing this thing all the way to church. That's the reason why I don't want to go to church. You know why? Because he was not my God. He was God, but he was not my God. And friend, whenever I made my way down to an old-fashioned altar and I found him myself, I'm telling you, whenever I touched the hem of his garment, and not only did I touch the hem of his garment, he touched the very core of my soul. And from that day forth, I have found him and have known him to be a real God. He is an alive God. It doesn't matter when you need him, 2:30 in the morning or 4 a.m. in the morning or at the midnight hour, you won't ever wake him out of a dead sleep to where he's going to wake up grumpy. You need him. He's there. You're going to need to choose your God and to know that the God that you choose is able to answer prayer. I don't want to live this life and so-called, I know God is God, but I haven't really known him for myself. Saints of God, if you're missing that inner core feeling, if you're just seeing it on the outside and not experiencing it on the inside, you need to really get a hold of this thing and say, I want God for myself. I want him to the very core of my soul. I want there to be an intimate, deep relationship in me. And then when I started feeling him and hearing him and walking with him, communing with him, he started communing with me. And you know what I found out? On sunny days, there was an umbrella to put me in the shade. On thunderstorming, rainy days, there was an umbrella that kept me from being drenched and soaked. Whenever there was just times that I felt like I couldn't go on, he just scooped me up and he bore me in the palm of his hand. And he said, don't worry, you're not going to fall out because you're graven in the palm of my hand. I loved you so much. And when you made the choice to take me as your God, he said, I took you serious. And he said, I graved you in the palm of my hands, and that's irremovable. You're going to be there, my friend. I'm telling you, when you choose to serve the one true living God and to know when you make that choice, he will answer prayer, because you're going to need a God one time, one day, one night when you need him the most to answer prayer. Hallelujah. We've had migraines healed. We've had stomach viruses healed. We've had this and that and the other healed. But we're talking about possibly cancer. You know what I told the Lord? Okay, God. It's time you answer by fire. It's time you show up. and show out. So you know what the Lord did? We began to pray. Got my daughter to pray in. And I think that was the whole purpose of the thing anyway. And she got to pray in. And she told me, she says, just day before yesterday, I told her, I said she was going to get the results of the biopsy. And I told her, I said, Daddy wishes I could be there. I said, but my heart is there. But I said, even though I'm not there, you're not alone. I left it at that. And her text back to me is, she says, I know your mom's praying, and I'm praying, and God's got this. Biopsy already been made. I said then, as she was going to get the results, you know what? The devil come to me, he says, it's too late to ask God anything now. It's there. The results is in. I says, okay, but I chose him to be my God. And my God answers prayer. I guess I done blew the story. She got to the surgeon to get the results and said that it was not cancer. There is no abnormal cells. Said it's just the growth. And said if it keeps growing, you might want to remove it. Now, I'm just going to tell y'all, you can say what you want to say. You can say, well, it was just a growth from the beginning. I serve a God in closing that answers prayer. And it's all because, Pastor Jordan, that I chose to make him my God. They chose to make Baal their God. And they needed him to answer. And the Bible says there was no answer. There was no reply. I'm telling you, you better choose your God wisely. Because when the time comes when you need God to answer, you're going to want an answer. You're going to want something to come to your rescue. You're going to want something to come to your aid. Don't play with the gods of this world. Don't play with the things that which will pass away and dissipate in your life and rust will decay it and destroy it. But you need to sell out and sell out to him and make him your God. And I promise you, if you'll do that, he won't let you down. In closing, as we stand together tonight, I want to give you opportunity to reconsider the fact that you, who you've chosen to be your God. I don't know. I know I'm preaching to the church tonight. I know I'm preaching to probably 90% saved people tonight. But you know what? That's what blew my mind, Pastor Jordan, is that, you know, I thought I was okay. I was PK, and I lived in the atmosphere of prayer. And I saw my mom and dad cast out devils in our living room. I saw people squirm and foam and do all kinds of stupid things. And thought that's okay, I'm a part of this. I saw a 26-year-old boy come staggering in about 2 o'clock in the morning. My dad took him in. My dad didn't reprimand him, says, what are you doing drunk, Lonnie? He didn't reprimand him right there. He laid hands on him and prayed for him that God sober him. And I saw God instantly sober him to his right mind. And I said, I'm a part of this. But there was something missing. I found out I was coattailing it. How many of you here tonight just been coming to church feeling you're a part of this? It's not enough to just be here faithful on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. You got to wake up every morning, and before your feet hit the ground, the first thing on your mind should be, oh God, you're my God. I will not leave my bedroom. I will not turn my phone on. I will not take a phone call or text, because when my eyes open, the first thing is that I want to reconnect. For the first 30 minutes of my day, somebody says, oh, you need an hour or two. I'm just going to tell you something. Everybody preaches about that quantity of time. When you get to that point, you're just clock watching. But when you can just get lost in the sweetness of the atmosphere of the presence of God and spend a quality 30 minutes or 15 minutes of just intimate relationship with your God. It was just yesterday morning, I believe it was the day before, it was Monday morning. And I know you're standing and I'm trying to close, but I'm just going to tell you folks something. God answers prayer. My wife and I, every morning, we never leave, we never go, we never do anything before we pray. And every morning, we always pray for God's protection. God, put your hand upon us as we travel. We was fixing to hook up from Arkansas and make an 8-hour drive to St. Louis. And I said, God, there's a lot of turns of the wheel, several tanks of diesel. So there's a lot of things that could go wrong under the hood and all around this trailer, but I'm asking you to just put your hands around it. And I want you to protect us from breakdowns, from accidents. Before I hooked up to my fifth wheel, my wife and I went to Sonic to fill up with fuel. 7:30 that morning, we went to Sonic, ordered our drink, backed out of the stall. There's a road that's right to the right of the Sonic. I could have chose to make the lap around Sonic and go out the exit that way, but God ordered my steps. And I went to the right, went on the road beside Sonic. And I no sooner hit the main road and got to the exit side of Sonic, there come a F-150 pickup flying across my path, across my lane, as though he surged, never hit his brakes, went airborne and flew into the Sonic where I would have just chosen to drive. Woman sitting there, ordered, just sitting there, seriously hurt. Her car was totaled. His truck was totaled. Drove, if it hadn't been for the post there, he would have went through Sonic walls, probably 50 miles an hour. I jumped out of my truck. I was expecting him to get out. I figured it was a medical accident. The man had to have a heart attack or something. Something medically had to have happened. I don't know the end of that, but I can tell you, 30 minutes before that, I took time before I left. I asked God, protect us. Oh, you just happened to make that right turn, but if I hadn't have, it would have been on my wife's side. And it would have been at the very location where we were. We would not be here today. But my God answers prayer. I want to ask you tonight, do you serve God that answers prayer? If you don't, you need to let him in and become your God. I promise you, there's great benefits in serving the true living God. Let's lift our hands together and say, God, I believe that you do answer prayer. You've been praying for prayers for a long time, but I'm saying keep praying, keep praying. God's going to come through. God will answer prayers. It doesn't matter what your need is. I want you to renew your faith in God tonight and believe that God hears your prayer. Restore the altar. There was so much in this message that I really didn't have the time to bring out. Don't, whatever the devil has torn down in your life, don't let him tear down the altar in your life. He can tear down a lot of things, but don't tear down your altar. And if he has, do like Elijah did. Repair the altar. Because it's at the altar where you get the results of fire. Pray like you've never prayed before. And when you pray, believe like you've never believed before. God bless you.
Lift your hands and sing it tonight. Say, I believe you're my portion. I believe that you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. I believe you're Does anybody feel like that tonight? Come on, say, I believe you're my portion. And I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Say, I believe you're more than